Narayana namaste cha narum tevam narottamam devim sarasati vyasam tuto jayam vidirayat nashta prayesu abhadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhavata utamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Vasudeva. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam text is from Canto 2, Chapter 7, and Text 15. 2, 7, 15. Antasarasyuru valena parigrihito. Okay, I think I'll change it. Antasarasyuru valena parigrihito. Grahina yuta paritam buja hastarata ahidam adi purusha kila lokanata teta shava shavana mangala namadiya anta sarasya balina pradegrito grahina yuta paritam buja hastarata Ahidam ati purusha kila no kanata teta shava shavana mangala namadheya anta sarasya rupalena parigrihito grahena yuta pati ambuja hasta arta ahidam ati purusha kila no kanata Yeta shava shava na mangala na mandiya. Hare Krishna. Okay. We can do word for word now. Anta sarasi, within the river. Urubalina, by superior strength. Pade, leg. Grihita, being taken up. Grahena, by the crocodile, Yutapati, of the leader of the elephants, Ambujahasta, with the lotus flower in the hand, Artha, greatly aggrieved, Aha, addressed, Idam, like this, Adipurusha, the original enjoyer, Akila Lokanatha, the lord of the universe, Teta Shrava, famous as a place of pilgrimage. Shravana Mangala, all good simply by hearing the name. Namadeya, whose holy name is worth chanting. Translation by Zivangri Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The leader of the elephants whose leg was attacked in a river by a crocodile of superior strength was much aggrieved. Taking a lotus flower in his trunk, he addressed the Lord, saying, O original enjoyer, Lord of the universe, O deliverer, as famous as a place of pilgrimage, all are purified simply by hearing your holy name, which is worthy to be chanted. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The history of delivering the leader of the elephants, whose leg was attacked in the river by the superior strength of a crocodile, is described in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Since the Lord is absolute knowledge, there is no difference between his holy name and the personality of Godhead. The leader of the elephants was much distressed when he was attacked by the crocodile. Although the elephant is always stronger than the crocodile, the latter is stronger than the elephant when it is in the water. And because the elephant was a great devotee of the Lord in his previous birth, he was able to chant the holy name of the Lord by dint of his past good deeds. Every living entity is always distressed in this material world because this place is such that at every step one has to meet with some kind of distress. But one who is supported by his past good deeds engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 16. Those who are supported by impious acts cannot be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, even though they are distressed. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, text 15. The personality of Godhead Hari appeared at once on the back of his eternal bearer, Garuda, and delivered the elephant. The elephant was conscious of his relation with the Supreme Lord. The elephant was conscious of his relation with the Supreme Lord. Can you just remove a little bit? So can you let me know where I am? Oh, okay, right at the top. That's here. He addressed the Lord as Adi Purush, or the original enjoyer. Both the Lord and the living beings are conscious and are therefore enjoyers. But the Lord is the original enjoyer because he is the creator of everything. In a family, both the father and his sons are undoubtedly enjoyers, but the father is the original enjoyer and the sons are subsequent enjoyers. A pure devotee knows well that everything in the universe is the property of the Lord, and that a living entity can enjoy a thing as ordained by the Lord. A living being cannot even touch a thing which is not allotted to him. This idea of the original enjoyer is very nicely explained in the Upanishad. One who knows this difference between the Lord and himself never accepts anything without first offering it to the Lord. The elephant addressed the Lord as Akila Loka Natha, Lord of the universe, who is therefore the Lord of the elephant also. The elephant, being a pure devotee of the Lord, specifically deserved to be saved from the attack of the crocodile. And because it is a promise of the Lord that his devotee will never be vanquished, it was quite befitting that the elephant calls upon the Lord to protect him, and the merciful Lord also at once responded. The Lord is the protector of everyone, but he is the first protector of one who acknowledges the superiority of the Lord instead of being so falsely proud as to deny superiority of the Lord or to claim to be equal to him. He is ever superior. A pure devotee of the Lord knows this difference between the Lord and himself. Therefore, a pure devotee is given first preference because of his full dependence, whereas a person who denies the existence of the Lord and declares himself the Lord is called Asura, and as such, he is given protection by the strength of limited power subject to the sanction of the Lord. Since the Lord is superior to everyone, his perfection is also superior. No one can imagine it. The elephant addressed the Lord as Tirtha Shrava, or as famous as a place of pilgrimage. People go to places of pilgrimage in order to be delivered from the reactions of unknown sinful acts. But one can be freed from all sinful reactions simply by remembering his holy name. The Lord is therefore as good as the holy places of pilgrimage. One can be free from all sinful reactions after reaching a place of pilgrimage, but one can have the same benefit at home or at any place simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. For a pure devotee, there is no need to go to the holy place of pilgrimage. He can be delivered from all sinful acts simply by remembering the Lord in earnestness. A pure devotee of the Lord never commits any sinful acts because the whole world is full of the sinful atmosphere. But because the whole world is full of a sinful atmosphere, even a pure devotee may commit a sin unconsciously, as a matter of course. One who commits sinful acts consciously cannot be worthy of being a devotee of the Lord. But a pure devotee who unconsciously does something sinful is certainly delivered by the Lord, because a pure devotee remembers the Lord always. The Lord's holy name is called Shravana Mangala. This means that one receives everything auspicious simply by hearing the holy name. In another place in Srimad Bhagavatam, his holy name is described as Punya Shravana Kirtana. It is a pious act simply to chant and hear all about the Lord. The Lord descends to this earth and acts like others in connection with the activities of the world just to create subject matters for hearing about Him. Otherwise, the Lord has nothing to do in this world, nor has He any obligation to do anything. He comes out of His own causeless mercy and acts as He desires. The Vedas and Puranas are full of descriptions of His different activities, so that people in general may naturally be eager to hear and read something about His activities. Generally, however, the modern fictions and novels of the world occupy a greater part of people's valuable time. Such literatures cannot do good to anyone. On the contrary, they agitate the young mind unnecessarily and increase the modes of passion and ignorance, leading to increasing bondage to the material conditions. The same aptitude for hearing and reading is better utilized in hearing and reading of the Lord's activities. This will give one all-around benefit. It is concluded, therefore, that the holy name of the Lord and topics in relation with Him are always worth hearing. And therefore, He is called here in this verse, Namadeya, or one whose holy name is worth chanting. Oma Ginati Mirandestya Jnana Jnana Shanakaya Chakshyam Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vitapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnava Cha Shri Rupa Sagjatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tansujivam Advaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Larita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sicha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Panamani Hari Priye Vanchakalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sundibhi Eva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Silveta Gadadha Sivasani Gora Maktabrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kinami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirveshesha Sunyavadi Prachati Adi Shatarini Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prima Padayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurati Sayinamaha Ananda Lidamaya Vigrahaya Himabiri Vachavishundarai Tasmi Mahaprim Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandrai Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandrai Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. The translation again. The leader of the elephants, whose leg was attacked in a river by a crocodile of superior strength, was much aggrieved. Taking a lotus flower in his trunk, he addressed the Lord, saying, O original enjoyer, O Lord of the universe, O deliverer, as famous as a place of pilgrimage, all are purified simply by hearing your holy name, which is worthy to be chanted. Hare Krishna. So, the crocodile and the elephant is called Gajendra. Maharaj Huhu and Maharaj Indradumya, what happened to both of them. They became crocodile and elephant from mistakes that they made. The elephant situation was very similar to the situation with Sam Qureshi and Maharaj Pariksit, after whom the Bhagavatam was spoken. Sam Qureshi did not pay attention to Maharaj Pariksit when Maharaj Pariksit came to his ashram. And that was why Maharaj Pariksit got a little upset. But as we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, it was from the Lord's will anyway. It was behind everything that happened, because he wanted Maharaj Pariksit back in the spiritual world. So he put a dead snake around the sage, and the sage's son, Sringi, could tell what was going on, even from where he was at. He's a trained Brahmin boy, and he cursed Maharaj Pariksit to die in 7 days. And within the 7 days, we got to hear about Srimad Bhagavatam later from us, but at that time, from Shukadeva Goswami. So, anyway, this situation, first the elephant, Gajendra. So in his previous birth, he had been a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. His name was Indradumya. So he was a king of the Tamil country, that area, in India. Maharaj Indradumya is also connected with the Lord coming as Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. It was the same Lord that was, same king that was missing the Lord and wanted darshan of the Lord. And so there's a whole story behind that. How finally the transcendental log was pulled out from the water, and it was carved, by a demigod, king of the heavenly, not king, but a resident of the heavenly planet, and Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, and how it ended with Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra having no legs, no limbs. It's all a nice, nice pastime involving Maharaj Indradumya. Now, Maharaj Indradumya leaves, as many of them do when they get older. They leave the administration to a worthy person, trained person, and then they go to spend their full time with Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. So, same way, Maharaj Indradumya retired from family life, and he constructed a small cottage in the, as he says, in Malaya Chala Hills, where he always worshipped Supreme Personality of Godhead in silence. But one day, Agastya Rishi, he came along with his disciples to King Indradumya's ashram. But the king was meditating at the time on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he did not receive Agastya Rishi properly. The Rishi became angry, and then he cursed the king to become a dull elephant. So, according to this curse, the king was born as an elephant, and he forgot all about his previous activities in devotional service. Not like Maharaj Bharat, who was cursed to become, made himself, put himself in a situation of remembering a deer that he had served, and wound up at the time of death becoming a deer, but he could remember his previous lives. So you might think, well, in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he could remember his previous life in an animal, but the case of Maharaj Indradumya, that previous activities that he had performed in devotional service were not given to him when he was given the birth. He was in that curse as an elephant. So this was a serious matter. It was a curse, so the repercussions were also quite serious. In the case of Maharaj Bharat, nobody cursed him. He himself was so fondly attached to the deer that he didn't do his devotional service, and that's what cost him. And the Lord made him remember his previous life so that he would take devotional service seriously. But in the case of Maharaj Indradumya, when he was born as an elephant, he was really enjoying himself. He had, wives, elephant wives, and he was having a great time. And then he was in the river, and this Lord decided to save him. The Lord is the cause of all causes. Sarva karana karanam. So he was attacked by a crocodile. So who was this crocodile? Well, the crocodile was also a king, just like Indradumna was also a king. So they were both kings. The crocodile was a king on the Gandhava planet. His name was Huhu, Maharaj Huhu. And in the Gandhava planet, the intersense gratification, way more sense gratification than we can get on this earth. So he was enjoying with women in the water. And while he was enjoying, there was a rishi who was also meditating in the water. Some of them do like that. So as the rishi was meditating and Maharaj Huhu was enjoying with these women, playing and, you know, messing around, as they say in American language, he inadvertently or mistakenly pulled the leg of Devala Rishi. And Devala Rishi was also taking a bath in the water, actually, at that time. So, of course, Maharaj Huhu didn't realize, he must have thought that it was one of those he was playing with. You know, some people are playing, sometimes their concentration goes down a little bit. They just do all kinds of, you know, crazy pranks here and there. But Maharaj Huhu inadvertently included Devala Rishi, who was also taking a bath at the time, in his wonderful enjoyment. And the sage became angry. Why did this man pull my leg? And he immediately cursed Maharaj Huhu to become a crocodile. They were in the water at the time. That's why he gave him an animal that was going to be in the water. You like playing this? Okay, do you stay here? Maharaj Huhu became very sorry, though, when he got cursed in that way. And he begged pardon from the sage. And sages are compassionate. Even when they get angry and a person just says, please, please help me, please lower this, please take the, you know, curse from me, they will do something. They will do something to mitigate the situation, to bring it down a little bit. So Devala Rishi gave Maharaj Huhu the promise that, or a benediction, that he would be freed when Gajendra was delivered by the personality of Godhead. The sages can tell the future, and so they can in fact say things that is supposed to happen in the future, and in fact it does happen like that. Our future, we don't have to know the future, we just have to read the scriptures. And it tells us a whole lot, especially, you know, towards the end of Kali Yuga, you know, Kalki avatar is gonna come, and you know, he's the one that's going to take care of the politicians who are very, very corrupt, will be the most corrupt at that time. We are 427,000 years away from that. We've done 5,000 of the 432,000 years. Now, Kali Yuga is going to get worse and worse and worse. That's already in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not a good idea at all to keep taking birth in this material world when life is only 100 years and this is 427,000 years away. Take so many births, but there are 8,400,000 types of bodies that one can take. There's plenty of bodies to take, but the main thing is take the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada followers and go back to the spiritual world. Anyway, coming back to this particular pastime, the Lord was to deliver, you know, according to Devala Rishi, that when an elephant, I mean, when in the dunya was delivered like that, then he also, you know, would also be delivered when the personality of Godhead comes to deliver. So Agastya Rishi had cursed the king, one king, to become a dumb elephant, and Devala Rishi had cursed another king to become a crocodile. So this is interesting situation. We have to live our lives in such a way that we don't get into situations where we could get cursed. That is serious. But in for a devotee, one of the main things is not to put ourselves in a situation where we will come back. And what is that situation? Offenses. Offenses. I remember my Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, sometimes a few things we share, some things he said in confidence. But he said mostly from the lectures that I was listening to him, this is lecture he gave directly when he was, you know, in his body here. Every time situation happened that was very unfortunate, and the devotee has made some mistakes, we didn't know the details, usually what we heard from him was, they have committed offenses. They have committed offenses. So offenses weaken our bhakti. Hearing the holy name of the Lord and chanting with attention increases our bhakti in quality. And causing offenses, and what's causing offenses? Making a devotee unhappy. Let's just start there. Making the devotee unhappy, that's already an offense. Sometimes it's not just what you say, but the mood with which you say it. Even that. Now, why is that considered an offense? Well, consider the spiritual world. Everybody is happy. This is the place you want to go. Everybody is in this highest state of happiness, in bliss. So, if you are to join, and if I am to join, let's just say we are to join that atmosphere of such bliss, how can we act in such a way that would make somebody upset or unhappy? Happiness is the main thing there. So unhappiness has no place. Therefore, since going back to the spiritual world is a matter of invitation, the Lord says, yes, you can come. If we are in a mood of causing unhappiness to devotees, however we go about it, if we are causing unhappiness to devotees, it would be assumed that that would be our character that we would carry to the spiritual world. And that can't fit. Therefore, we can't be allowed back. That's why offenses, no matter what we're doing, chanting, obeying the regulative principles, offensive person is not allowed back. You hear, especially a lot of senior devotees, they remember every time they make some statements to devotees or write to devotees, they would say, if I have committed offenses in any way, please forgive me. Even the ones that I don't know that I've committed, but, you know, you may know about it, please forgive me. It's very important that we make that request to devotees for forgiveness, because this is how we keep ourselves from being blocked from going back to the spiritual world. There is so many things Srila Prabhupada said in the purport. Because of the prayer that Gajendra prayed to the Lord. So, the elephant was a great devotee of the Lord. The elephant was in the previous, before he got cursed, Maharaj in the Dunya. Very pure devotee of the Lord. So much history. We talked about, you know, connection with Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra, and how they came to the world like that. Srila Prabhupada does say, though, there is distress in the material world for every living entity, because that's the way this place is like. It is set up that way. Some kind of distress will come. Srila Prabhupada sometimes comes, he says, distress comes even though we don't invite it. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't, and it comes anyway. But he says that, they also say that don't put so much effort into happiness. That would also come, because the world is set up that way. Distress and happiness and distress. Maharaj Vishabhadev also says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, from verse 10 to 13, when he's advising his 100 sons, don't worry about the happiness and distress in this world. They come and go just like the winter and the summer. Don't get so, yes, so you live in it, but don't get too attached to it. In other words, tell a mind, that's the way it is. Or as they say in America, It is what it is. It is what it is. So we chant and we go on. But a devotee who believes firmly in Guru and believes firmly in Krishna is taken through this situation of distress and happiness quite smoothly. Things that happen, even if distress happens to us, there's a lesson behind it. Therefore, our prayer should offer, what is it that we're supposed to learn from this lesson? Or from this situation? What lesson are we supposed to learn from this situation? When something wonderful happens to us, say, thank you, dear Krishna, thank you, Gurudev. I didn't deserve it, but through your mercy, you're making it a little easier on me. We always should be open to serving devotees. Our own happiness lies in serving devotees. The more devotees we serve, the more we serve with great quality, the happier we become. And also, we know service to Guru is done in a very high quality because Guru is representative of Krishna. But the Gurus will tell you, if we serve other devotees, whether they are junior to us by when they got initiated or when they came to Krishna consciousness, or at our level, at peer level, or senior to us, if we serve them with the same attention and care that we give to serving the representative of the Lord, the Guru, that is what, as Srila Prabhupada said, that is wanted. That's what's supposed to be done. So, there is distress in this world, and those who have good deeds from previous lives, as Srila Prabhupada is saying here, they get helped by the Lord in terms of being able to connect with devotional service. And that's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:16, chapter 7, text 16. And Srila Prabhupada says that those who had committed impious acts, they never get a chance to do devotional service. It's the highest thing we can do. So a person who has engaged in pious acts in previous life, they get distressed, they will turn to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They will also do devotional service. But a person who is who has impious acts, a lot of impious acts in previous life, they cannot engage in devotional service of the Lord. So devotional service is actually a privilege. Chanting is required by us to do. Chanting is required. We have to chant every day. Anyone listening to this and not chanting that this very minute, please make the resolution to chant. And chant with desperation. But chanting is also a privilege. Why? Because Nam nam akari bahudani jashava shakti tatra pitani amitas malani nakala itadishi tavakripa bhagavan mamapi durudeva. We are unfortunate, but still we're trying. Devam disha mihajanu nanuraga. The second shloka of the Shishi Shastaka. Oh my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction to living beings. Your holy name alone. And the elephant is also confirming this. But he took a lotus flower to pray to the Lord. You have hundreds of names, hundreds and millions of names, like Krishna and Govinda. And the transcendental Shakti, the qualities, are immersed in these transcendental names. And then you can chant any time of the day. No hard and fast rules for chanting this name. And out of kindness, oh my Lord, you enable us to chant your holy names, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attraction for them. I have no attraction for them. So then the first question comes, what do we do? We don't have attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anything that you do over and over and over again, after a while, it becomes a habit. And from the habit level, you can go higher to liking doing that thing. Therefore, it doesn't matter how we feel when we're chanting the holy name at this point. The pure devotees, they get an ecstasy chanting the holy name. But even if we don't get an ecstasy chanting the holy name, we should go on chanting anyway. Also, when we serve from our hearts, when we serve, then it increases the quality of chanting. And the quality of chanting, when that increases, then our willingness to serve also increases. So they go in hand in hand. The chanting and the other service, and the willingness to do other service, that would increase. Then you feel that you are fortunate to do it, that if we do that, we begin to feel we are fortunate to be in the association of devotees. So chanting is a privilege, and it's a great fortune to be around devotees. You've been around devotees, you begin to feel it's a different atmosphere every time. One time, I was in Washington, D.C., I had met Bhaktivedanta Maharaj at that time, and his, some of them were disciples, some of them had just come, trying to check out Krishna consciousness. And there was a function in Atlanta, Georgia. If we put it out, the Buddhists were invited, and so from Maryland, we were going to fly to Atlanta, Georgia. We were supposed to be at the airport at 5:30. So my wife and I, Anusia and myself, we drove to the airport and left the car for parking for that time, because we're only going, it was just a weekend. And we were sitting there and devotees hadn't come yet. Most of the devotees coming from Washington, D.C. rented a van, and they all packed in there and they drove. So they came in one at once with the spiritual master, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. Now the reason I'm bringing this up is just the atmosphere. The two of us, my wife and I, were sitting along other, non-devotees clearly, passengers who were waiting. And, the mood was the way it was, modes, everything there, goodness, passion, ignorance, whatever, Then all of a sudden we saw this group of people coming towards us. They are dressed different. They looked different. And as soon as they got here, the whole atmosphere changed. It was just the fact that a whole bunch of devotees, about 15 of them, came at one time to the place where we were sitting, the waiting area. It changed the mood immediately. So again, sometimes we take for granted when we are in the association of devotees, but association of devotees creates a very powerful spiritual atmosphere that we bathe in and remember the holy name of the Lord. Always, even if you don't know the person that's next to you, you can talk to them, true enough. But even when you're looking at devotees conversing, they will be mentioning things about the Lord. They will be mentioning things about the devotees. As yesterday in the program, we were there, I could overhear young people talking, and they were talking about, and I was telling my wife, they're talking about the deities, they're talking about the temple, that's the kind of conversation that reminds, everyone about Krishna. So chanting is a privilege and also a wonderful atmosphere to be associating with devotees. Chanting is connecting directly. To chant is to connect directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada gave two references. And Bhagavad Gita 7:14, firstly talks about chapter 7. Text 14. It's quite a popular one. Daivisha gnamayi mama maya duracharya mameva jepapadente maya ita tarantite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered to me can easily cross beyond it. So Srila Prabhupada quoted that to make the point. This time, even connecting it to those who have been pious in previous lives. He said the three modes of material nature, Krishna is saying, normally is very difficult to overcome. But when we surrender to Krishna, then it becomes easy to cross over it because The moat is still there, but the Lord is protecting. It's like we are in a very, very, very swift current river, or the ocean, and the Lord has put us in a boat, and the spiritual master is steering the boat. The Lord's protection is there, and no matter what the nature of the torrent, the currents, the torrent of just so much energy from the water that could drown anybody that falls into it. We are on a boat, and that boat is strong enough. The strength of the Lord powers the boat, and spiritual master directs the boat. And so we can easily cross beyond it. But what about those who have not been serious, connected? They don't have serious connection even from previous life. What does Krishna call them? Naman Duskritino Mudha Papadyante Naradama Maya Parita Jnana Asuram Pavam Ashrita. Those who are grossly foolish, the miscreants, who are the lowest among mankind and whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and they partake of this atheistic nature of the demons, they don't surrender to Krishna. So, first one, it says that those who have surrendered to Krishna can easily cross over these difficult modes of material nature, especially passion and ignorance. But those who are grossly foolish, the lowest of mankind, those are those whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. Now, if you look all around us, people are acting clearly that their knowledge is stolen by illusion. Thinking that they're going to be happy in this world, thinking that the material things make everyone happy. We should see, we know what we've been told to do and not do. But by watching, or sometimes experiencing what these people whose knowledge is stolen by illusion do, we should be reminded, this is not our home, this is illusion, and we shouldn't in any way take part in it. So I'm saying this in my own purification also, because sometimes the mind just pulls us to these things out of curiosity. We're all bombarded all the time, all around us by some things that are, by many things that are actually illusory, because they can't really make us happy. Real happiness is not known. Real happiness is not known by people who are non-devotees. Real happiness is simply not known. Happiness is in the holy name. The chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, gives devotees happiness. The association of devotees gives happiness. And so we should be ones who associate with devotees in such a way that they feel happy to be around us. We should be the ones serving and serving from our hearts and making devotees feel that they are special. Just like we serve gurus to give them the knowledge, give them the understanding, give them the feeling that we know them to be special. We should do the same thing for devotees. Ramanujacharya repeated these statements when he was on his deathbed. His devotees, his disciples were around him. They were all morose because, Guru Maharaj was going to leave the body. They were going to miss his association. But he told them the first thing, after thanking them for serving him so nicely, Ramanujacharya told his disciples, serve yourselves with the same intensity that you used in serving me. When devotees serve other devotees, just like they serve gurus, that devotee understands what spiritual life is about. And that devotee has a great chance of being allowed. Srimati Radharani would be very, very happy with that devotee. And we say, Krishna, please allow this devotee to come back home, back to Godhead. Arrangements would be made so you can remember Krishna at the time of death. That's our final exams. And from there, we can, in fact, go back to Godhead. So, Krishna says the grossly foolish, the lowest among mankind, this knowledge is stolen by illusion, and they do demonic things. They don't surrender to Krishna. These days, the atmosphere is filled with passion, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. So, while we're on the road, driving, while we are in places where we're not among devotees, we should constantly be chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should treat it like an emergency. Because we are really in an emergency situation. Kali Yuga is getting worse and worse and worse. And Rakshasas are trying to control this particular planet. Krishna always wins when it comes to dealing with the demons. But we have to connect with them in great, great confidence and strength, and connect with them as a matter of emergency. Just like holding on to a branch of a tree where underneath us is a great drop that if we fell from the tree we'll be hurt badly. Hang on to the holy name with that kind of strength. Your life depends on it. My life depends on it. So the holy name has to be said and chanted from the heart. From the heart. Everybody knows, and I'd say this is the end. Everybody knows sometimes we chant and the mind is roams. It's almost like we got two minds. Yeah? One of them is running the holy name. The other one is wanting to do something else. This is not good. Sometimes I question, how come I have two minds like this? I wish I had just one. I chant the holy name and all right, so we have to direct the holy name. Because one Srila Prabhupada disciple said, don't let the holy name be like background music. While you do something else with the other part of the mind. So, sometimes I've heard other devotees, if the mind's gonna roam like that, when we chant and chant emotionally, that feeling of the mind traveling here and that, it stops immediately. When we chant with emotions, that's one. And even if we don't feel so emotionally chanting, one of the things we can do is, okay, so this mind is going to roam somewhere else. We'll let it roam to Krishna then. So if you're chanting the holy name and at the back of your mind, you're going, go ranga, go ranga, go ranga. The other mind can't, that other thing that will travel can't go anywhere because you put it to Lord Goranga and the other one is chanting. You get emotional with the chanting. There's no question that you focus on the mantra. There's no question. But in those days, when it's like that, then you know that, well, this mind can travel to this, that, and what I have to do, and this, then just turn that place, that, what part of the mind that makes this room like that? Turn it to the holy name of Lord Gauranga too. Then chant like that. We also been told the more we use, our senses, then the more we focus on. The more senses we use, we watching the deity, watching the picture of the spiritual master, and chanting out loud. Then, of course, our mouths chanting, our ears are hearing, and also our eyes are looking at someone or something that is spiritual, so that we can stay with it. Gajendra reminded us so wonderfully about how to connect the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the things that he said about the Supreme Personality of Godhead are so wonderful. So many things that he said at the time of distress for him, when the crocodile had him hanging onto his leg, the elephant's leg. O original enjoyer, O Lord of the universe, O deliverer, as famous as a place of pilgrimage. The pure devotees always do that. Clearly, Gajendra was going to ask for help from the Lord. But he didn't say, oh Lord, please help me. No. They start always, and this is over and over and again, all through the scriptures you will see, a pure devotee connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead first praises the Lord and confirms the Lord's position as the topmost. The original enjoyer, Gajendra says, Lord of the universe, Oh, deliverer. And of course, he would say that Maharaj in the dunya was connected with Jagannath. Jagannath is the Lord of the universe. Oh, Lord of the universe. Oh, deliverer. As famous as a place of pilgrimage. All are purified simply by hearing your holy name. By hearing your holy name. When we chant the holy name out, everywhere that we chant, the holy name purifies the atmosphere. This is very important because the atmosphere around us has so many living entities, some of whom we can see and some that we can't see because they're too tiny for our eyes the way they are to be able to see them. But they also have souls. There are souls in all the living entities that we can't even see. The germs, the bacteria, those that are very, very, very small. And they also need to be delivered by the holy name. They are also living their Kali Yuga life. So, when we chant out the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is a spiritual mantra, it connects with all the souls that hear this. And so we should really give mercy by chanting out loud, loudly enough, not chanting silently, but chanting loudly so that every living entity around us also benefits. This is also confirmed by one of our, esteemed gurus, Taptaka Swami, said the same thing. Hundreds of living entities around us benefit when we chant the holy name out loud. So, Gajendra appealed to the Lord, the elephant, but the pastime was set up in such a way that both the crocodile and the elephant would be delivered when Lord Vishnu came, riding on Garuda, the bird carrier. And we are also going to be delivered. We are actually all delivered. All we need to do is follow what the instructions are from Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we'll also be on our way back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, devotees, for allowing me to do this service. Now, anyone that wants to make comments or ask questions or talk about some takeaways can unmute themselves right now and share with us, and let's have a Krishna conscious conversation. Krishna Katha. Hare Krishna. Jai. It's not so easy to see. If you're talking and, okay, so you've taken a particular example where, you are talking with somebody and your point is different from their point. Yeah, that you brought that particular one up. So when that happens, you have to first, even though your point is different, be humble enough to see their point of view also. Especially if you repeat their point of view to them, then they know you really have heard their point of view. Now, then the next thing is to be careful in your choice of words. If you still want to stay at your own point, there's two things. One, be careful your choice of words that you don't use any words that jab at the person. You just basically use mild words. Mild words. And you also, the second point is be aware that Krishna is listening. Paramatma is listening. Paramatma is in your heart. Paramatma is in their heart. He's listening. And the whole point is when the conversation is finished, there should not be enmity or discomfort between the two parties. So when these are taken into consideration while we're talking, it also means sometimes, when these are taken into consideration, the chances are very high that you would actually not offend that person. You're looking at it from their point of view. They've heard your point of view, but you're looking at it from their point of view also. You might say, okay, I see what you're saying. Then you can use a third party, according to what I've been taught, which is a third party teaching. It is like this. In that, you're talking about your point now. This like this, and that's what I know. So basically, he said, that's what I've learned, you know, but I can see what you're saying also. Leave it like that. And if the person agrees with that point that you're making, then of course the conversation is pretty much at the end then. If they stick to their point, you said the third party told you about your part of it, therefore you can leave it alone. The things that you can leave alone there, the thing that tends to get people really intensely going the other way in terms of anger, getting in, and so on, is we want to stick to our point so much. And that's the problem. We want to stick to our point so much that our point is the main thing. Now, remember, if we had a number of devotees, everybody with some idea, and they're trying to stick to their point, and their points are different, how much commotion it can create. The point about life with devotees is to be able to relate well. That matters more than anybody being right or wrong. To be able to relate well is actually more important than saying the right thing or thinking you said the right thing. And I'm thinking that I've said the right thing. How to relate in such a way that we don't get to be uncomfortable with each other comes first. That comes first. As has been said by an after bringing, Bhagavan Maharaj made one point about four principles, brought four principles of community living. And he said the success or failure of our spiritual life depends on how we relate to devotees. The success or failure depends on how we relate to devotees. Now, nobody wants to fail. Nobody in their right mind wants to fail in devotion service. So, I mean, in the whole devotion of going back to Godhead, which is the ultimate thing. So how we relate becomes very important. That's why, and it takes a while and a lot of exercise in humility to see the importance of maintaining the relationship when we are at different ends of, you know, a conversation where we see one point and the other person sees another point. Sometimes it means understanding it and agreeing and ending it there. And if we're really, really strong with our point, we don't want to do that. We want to get it across to the other person that what we're talking about is right. We need to use our intelligence rather than doing that. If they don't hear us, even after we've used mild words and all of that, leave it alone. And I have lived, you know, long enough to see, and I'm not bragging about this, that there have been situations where the person that left it alone was in fact right. And they saw the other person's point of view, and the other person was not going to believe them. And so they left it alone, and Krishna arranged later on for things, the other things to happen to get the person who was not agreeing to see the point of view of that first person who kind of left things alone just so that they would not break the relationship. It's been, you know, maybe I should use A and B if this is not that clear. See, A and B, they have different points. And A is trying to see B's point. But B is not seeing A's point at all. They're just sticking to their point. So A realizes that if I push, it's going to make the person a little more agitated. B more agitated. So A decides, okay, I see your point, B, but we'll leave it alone for now. And so it doesn't end badly, and they still relate. The Krishna would arrange later on for B to begin to understand actually A was right. And sometimes if B is humble enough, they will come and admit, okay, I see your point now. So the Lord hears everything we do and everything we say, and we just have to be aware that the Lord is listening. And if we have good intention, and even an argument or say a debate, I shouldn't want an argument means in an emotion setting. A debate, two different points, and person A decides to, all right, this one is not going to go anywhere. So I'll leave it alone. And then later on, Krishna would actually work it out in such a way that B will begin to understand. But the one thing that A would have done then is ended the conversation so that A and B are still friends. That's even more important than everything that is discussed. Because we have to relate well, to be able to relate well in the spiritual world too. And that's why it's that way. Non-devotees don't look at it that way at all. They're going to make their point, and their point's going to be right. And even if they're going to be enemies, they're still, my point is right. Devotees have to maintain the relationship. That's the first thing. They have to maintain the relationship. If B listens, fine. If B didn't listen, fine. But still fine. Because A and B need the relationship to be good. That's what Krishna is looking for. Hare Krishna. It's hard, but it can be done. Hare Krishna. that's natural. That's natural because people say things they feel is right. But when the other person is doing that, then the first thing, okay, so you can see their point of view and try to, you know, arrange it with mild words, but if it doesn't work, then it's time to leave it alone. Never get to that point where the person is too upset. Not even too upset, upset at all. Leave it that way. So that way, then, yeah, you don't cause a problem with anyone. And you realize that people can relate to you so easily. And that's why. Because you don't cause a problem with it for anyone, even when you have discussions. Some things they hear, some things you leave alone, and over time, Krishna will work it out. Sometimes we are the ones that are wrong. We'll find out later, too. Yeah. We can get mad, this is Kali Yuga, but don't show it. Don't show it, because if the other person sees that you're angry at them, you've broken the relationship then. Yeah, you've broken the relationship then. So sometimes, yeah, in our hearts, the emotion's not going to go away. We can get angry sometimes, we get disappointed sometimes, we get sad sometimes, but the statements that come out from other devotees. But whatever we do, the bottom line should be that relationship should not be broken. Our relationship should still be at the very least cordial between ourselves and other devotees. So we still maintain the good relationship in the family, the family of devotees. We look at it the other way too. There are other devotees sometimes, and maybe I just make this short so that other people who want to comment can do that also. There are devotees, and one devotee does not speak to another devotee, and they come to the same temple, and something is happening between the two of them. They're not talking with each other. How much trouble they have to go through to make sure that they're not next to each other in the line for Prasadam. They're not sitting in the same place together. Now all of these conditions have to be put just so I can maintain my distance between me and this person. And all that, if the conversation was set in the first place, that there was no problem with taking the relationship as important first and not the things that were being discussed. You can sit anywhere. You can be any part of the line. It wouldn't matter. See how much trouble we go through just for disagreeing. Bhaktadev, I thought you had your hand up. Hare Krishna. Yes. Yes, it is a false ego judgment. That is true. And the false ego is the most difficult one to overcome. We need to bear in mind that whatever we're talking about, and I sound like working record now, that the relationship comes first. Maintaining the relationship comes first. Not ruining the relationship, that comes first. Everything else is discussed is secondary. With that in mind, then we become careful when we're talking to devotees, what happens, especially if we have different opinions about a topic that we're discussing. That's when you have to be really, really careful. So, if you do that, everybody will call you a nice person. Everybody will call you a nice person. You're never going to argue with anybody. Oh, I can relate to this person. And then they talk, oh, this person is a very nice person. That's all they're doing. They put the relationship before any debate. It comes first. That's all they do. That's the secret, actually. And if you don't, then you're going to have some people who are uncomfortable and some people who are comfortable. And then it becomes a clique. And here we go. The temple is all divided. This person talks to this person. This person doesn't talk to this person. And the prasadam table is divided to these different cliques are here and there. That's what happens. And people get uncomfortable. I'm sorry, I'm just going out and out. It's funny, you know, sometimes if you look outside with this, all they have to do is make sure they don't offend each other when they're talking. The beginning, at the beginning, that's all. And this won't happen. Anyway, Hare Krishna, let me just, my soapbox now, going on and on and on. I can laugh at it, but it's not so easy to do though. It takes a while to be able to check yourself. To be able to check yourself. The emotions will be there. That, don't get me wrong. Emotions will be there. Except that when you're talking to a devotee, this is a devotee of the Lord. I have to be careful. Krishna is hearing. The demigods are hearing. Shrimati Radharani is hearing. What I'm saying. And this is a special person. Krishna is affectionate to this particular person. Therefore, I have to be careful how I deal with them. And that's why sometimes, you know, if they don't get to your point, you just have to let it go. You have to let it go. Because the right thing will come out. Krishna will arrange it. He does it all the time. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Thank you for bringing this question up. Before any other comments, please unmute yourself and bring it out. I know we spent so much time on this one thing, but it's actually quite critical for devotees to relate to each other well in all circumstances. Okay. Hare Krishna. Hare. Glories to Guru and glories to Gauranga. Yeah, it's important for every temple, actually. Hare Krishna. All right. Vanchakalpa Truvischa Kripa Sindhya Evacha Patitana Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Ramo Namaha Sira Prabhupada Ki Jai Vaishnav Thakur Ki Jai Gora Pramanandi Hari 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 Hare Krishna. Have a nice rest of the week. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Gosha Prabhupada.